Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I'm so glad you were able to join me today. And on yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at some of the characteristics or qualities of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, as Ephesians refers to that offensive weapon that we have. And we looked at yesterday that it is divine, it is of God, it is the Word of God. And we were moving on to examine scriptures that talked about it being alive. The Word of God is quick. That's what that word alive means, is from the word zeo, to live, from zeo, to be warm. And so God's words have actual life in themselves. The God's words are the living and incorruptible seed. There's no word unlike His. Our words will pass away, but God's words will live on. And His words create life wherever they come. He spoke the worlds into existence. Isn't that true? That's what Scripture tells us. His word can never be destroyed or exterminated. Jesus said in Mark, the 13th chapter, verse 31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." What else does Scripture tell us about the Word? Well, it's effectual. It is powerful. It's active. That word energies. It carries conviction as well as conversion. It brings comfort. It brings confirmation. And it has the power to change us, to raise us to great heights of holiness and joy in God and happiness and all the things that we desire. The power of the Word produced creation. Remember, so God's Word is definitely effective. Then the Word tells us that the Word is cutting. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. My text is Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we're looking just a little more closely at that. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's all edge. There's not just one side, but every side is sharp, just as a two-edged sword. And so this sword will wound all who come in contact with it. The demons of hell flee from it. It is our one offensive weapon. And also, it kills and destroys sin and unbelief and self-righteousness. As we utilize the Word of God, it is powerful. The weapons of our warfare, what did I say? They are powerful through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. It's not only cutting, but it's piercing, even to the dividing asunder. That Greek word there is merismos, and it means distribution, from the Greek word merizo, which means to divide. So the penetrating power of God's Word is greater than any double-edged sword and reaches the innermost being of a person so that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word is able to pierce the hardest heart with conviction for salvation. Some of you can say amen to that. Some of you may say, well, that was me. I know there was a time I said I would never be in church again. I didn't. At 19, I was confirmed atheist. I didn't believe in God. Aren't you glad that God knows how to get to the hard, tough cases? Even those loved ones of yours that you've been, it's in the natural, it looks impossible. They're going from bad to worse. God still is on His throne, and He hears and answers prayer. And so God is able to convict with His Word, able to reprove of all unrighteousness in our walk as a child of His. Also, it's discriminating, and that's what that phrase means, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It makes a distinction. The Word of God, by its penetrating, and discerning qualities is able to discriminate successfully between what is spiritual in man or what is merely soulish or natural or fleshly. The Word of God is able to do so even when these often contradictory inner elements are interwoven as closely as the joints and marrow. Sometimes we might be very sincere and we might be praying prayers that are really very soulish. It's really what our flesh wants. And we don't, only as we mature and grow in the Lord, we will begin to understand that. A child many times doesn't understand its motivations, that basically it's totally self-centered. And only as that child grows into maturity and is raised in a proper and a correct way, that they will understand that life is not all about them, but that while God wants to bless them, meet their needs, our outlook should be looking outward at God's interest. And so that's how a child grows. The inner life of a child of God, even as we grow up, we can be adults serving God for many decades. Sometimes we can often be a strange mixture of motivations, some genuinely spiritual, and others completely human and natural. That's why we need God's Word. And so it takes a supernaturally discerning agent, such as the Word of God, to sort those things out and to expose that which is of the flesh. Sometimes our motivations are not truly spiritual, but they're carnal. So thank God for His Word. Also, it's revealing. We're looking now at that portion of that scripture that says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word opens up the secret tendencies of the soul, the things that are deep within us. And we see an example, for example, in the life of Hezekiah. In 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, verse 24, it says, "But about that time Hezekiah became deathly sick, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord replied with a miracle." But what do we see happen? He was a good king. He honored the Lord. But as he grew in wealth and in fame and in prestige, it affected him. He didn't respond with true thanksgiving and praise. Why? Because he had become proud. And so the anger of the Lord was upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. But finally, Hezekiah and the residents of Jerusalem humbled themselves so that the wrath of the Lord did not fall upon them during Hezekiah's lifetime. So Hezekiah had become very wealthy, and he was very highly honored, for God had given him great wealth. But we see that as he was raised back into health and life, in verse 31 of that same chapter, it says, "However, when ambassadors arrived from Babylon to find out about the miracle of his being healed, God left him to himself in order to test him to see what he was really like." And we see that in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, verses 12 through 19. I won't take the time to read it. But Isaiah came to him and he asked, "What do they want? Where were they from?" And so Hezekiah replied, "From far away in Babylon, and I showed them all of my treasures." And so Isaiah then responds with a prophetic word, and he says, "The time will come when everything in your house and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried to Babylon, and nothing shall be left." That's a Living Bible translation. So it's a discerner. It reveals, that Greek word kritikos, one whose business and special gift is to judge. And that word there is used only in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, that scripture we're looking at, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword." And it talks about the intents of the heart. There, that Greek word is enoia, from en, which means in, that's E-N, in, and nous, N-O-U-S, which means mind. And that refers to intention or purpose or mind. And the heart is the cardia. The heart is used for the mind in general. Scripture attributes to the heart the following things: thoughts, reasonings, understanding, will, judgment, designs, affections, love, hatred, fear, joy, sorrow, and anger. That covers a lot, but it talks about a great deal, the inner part of a man. And so God's Word, the wonderful sword of the Spirit, lays bare our thoughts, the intents and inner workings deep within us. It judges them and puts a right estimation on them. It discerns them. It approves that which is good and, of course, condemns the evil. So this is the effect that we see in the preaching of God's Word. It has this result upon us. And when anyone will share the Word of God, will preach or teach the Word of God, it has the effect because it's quick, it's powerful, it's alive. Praise God. It's all these seven things I've been sharing. It's divine. It's alive. It's effective. It's cutting, it's piercing, it's discriminating, it's revealing, it's a discerner. Beloved, all of these things are contained in the mighty and powerful Word of God. So as I summarize all this and bring it to a close and conclusion, what can we say are the lessons to be learned? Well, first of all, we should greatly reverence the Word because it's truly spoken of God. It is divine. And that we come to it for a quickening of our souls. This life is hard and we need God's quickening, life-giving power in us, in our spirits, in our souls and bodies. We come to it for power when fighting battles. That's our weapon against the enemy. We use it to combat the evils of the day. It gives us understanding. We utilize it in witnessing, and that's the only force available, really, to pierce man's heart and consciences that are hard to reach. It's by the Word of God. Your testimony is important, but it's the Word that's going to penetrate to their heart. And we can discriminate by the Word of God between truth and falsehood. Praise God. In Psalm 45 and 4, I'd like to conclude. It says, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O Most Mighty, with thy glory and majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness." Praise God. All the great conquests which Christ and his saints achieve in this world are gotten with this sword, the sword of the Spirit. And when Christ comes forth against his enemies, this sword is girded upon his thigh, and he is going to ride prosperously because of truth. And what is truth? His Word is truth. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. Until then, this Sister Glass say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,